Welcome to Wednesday Comics. To my left, AP18 himself. Alex, how you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing well.
To my right, GW himself, Garrett, how you doing?
Doing good.
Wednesday Comics Podcast. My name is Marvin for the week of April 18th and April 19th, 2023, mid-April. Here we are. The showers are a-coming. Last week, I was in the LA area, and it was actually overcast and kind of sprinkling on and off, so I didn't get to enjoy any sunny weather, and I heard you did, Alex. 80s.
We sure did.
And then I came back, and it's fucking cold and rainy here. Like, it never stopped for me. At least that way, it's not a big shock for me this week. Even though today and yesterday were kind of nice, I heard it's going to get kind of rainy again, and we'll talk about that here in a second in the forecast. I'm a little teasing the forecast. Alex knows the tease. You know, meteorologists, they like to tease the weather. And then when they tell you the weather, as Garrett states, they say, hey, maybe, maybe not. So
they cover all their bases.
And I think I asked you this before, Alex, but if you could, I'm going to give you a superpower that you can control the weather. Would you then become a weatherman and then become the most accurate weatherman ever? Because then you would just change whatever the weather is to what you said.
That'd be such a hard job. Like, what a hard power to have, though. Because to be fair, you want to be, I mean, you don't want it to ever be a drought, but you also don't want a flood. So you got to be like, make sure you're doing the right thing. Also, super selfish of me. If I had that power, yes, I would become a weatherman and fuck everybody over. And when I heard, and then it'd be one of those things where if I heard Garrett's going to go camping, I'd be like, fuck you. Gonna rain the whole
day. Oh, that's so mean.
It's the opposite. Well, that's the thing too. It's like, would you ever make a blizzard happen?
I was gonna tell you, Garrett goes hunting out west. Fucking blizzard. Oh,
sorry, Zach. He can
so
control the weather.
That the snakes are out.
I got a question on the parameters of this. Does natural weather still happen, and then he can control it? Or if he's in charge the entire time?
Natural weather still like happens, but he can like, you know, mix it up.
Okay.
So, if he is not paying attention to the weather, it just go by on his day. But in his head, if he maps out, you know what? It's kind of like that show Death Note. He writes in a notebook, and if he writes a 7-day forecast, that actually happens. He closes the book, it makes this magic noise, and it gets sent to the clouds.
He gets up to the cloud. He can't get that shit down.
And then, unless he wants to update his forecast.
I get like the flu, like if I get super sick.
You better amp that Sunny D. So that's your problem now.
What if I took a giant sneeze and I blow up Wisconsin with a ginormous tornado? I don't know why I'm attacking you, Garrett.
Yeah, I don't know. What did I do, man? Jesus, you're trying to kill me over here.
Well, I know. It was so specific. He was like, it's Wisconsin, which... Not to say that they don't have any tornadoes, but like it's not one of the places you would think when you think of tornadoes.
Yeah,
could have said
I
Oklahoma.
See that tornado coming. I'll be like, that son of a bitch.
He could have said Kansas, like all these other things, and he goes for Wisconsin.
Yeah, freshly laid snow on the ground, and I just see a tornado coming at me. Oh, and maybe you can do it like the mummy, and then it looks like your face. And I'll be like, fuck you, Alex. You're about to eat me, man.
Start getting a shotgun. I'll start shooting at the wind.
That's right.
Alex, if you did have that power, they would call you the forecaster. That's what your name would be.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I would say the minimum job requirement is you can only have one accent, though, because as we've seen Halle Berry Storm, you could have like five. You gotta stick with one. Okay?
It'll be my natural Brooklyn accent when I start getting into it. There you go.
That's right. Commit.
There you go. That's the weather. Comic books, you know, I've been when you go on vacation, especially in my situation, maybe not in anybody who collects physical media, it might be a little harder. Actually, you can bring a trade with you, but reading comics on on a vacation, I feel like is for me one of my greatest pastimes. It makes it. If you're back from whatever you're doing for the day, everybody's winding down, or if you're on the plane's perfect for a comic. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, hell yeah.
Put a little music in the background and read some comics. Alex, it's safe for Alex because even though there is food and drink, They'll ask you, isn't it just around? And you get your own table, so that way you don't have to worry about other people spilling it on your thing. And then it gets set nicely on the table, so you don't have to touch it the whole time, and then you can turn the pages.
Well, so, I just have to smudge the screen, not smudge the artwork, so I can be fine with that.
There you go. And then you're, you know, 3,800 feet above the sea, and next thing you know, you see Superman outside the window, because I heard it's his 85th birthday.
And he's his 85th birthday!
And he's out there, old man Soup, thinking about the things he's done in his life, you know, banging mermaid, jump over a fence.
To be fair, when you said old man Soup, I just assumed he was making gravy.
It was, hey, Marvin, it wasn't just one fence. It was at least three, okay?
Snappy necks, you know?
Guy leaps buildings in a single bound. He can hop three fences.
He didn't want to show off. That's what really what it came down to.
That's right.
He learned about grabbing that grenade and having it blow up in his hands. So
He's like, okay, I bet you if I can get over these three fences without looking like a superhero, I'm going to go bang a mermaid.
Well, you know what's funny about that panel from an artistic standpoint? And when I saw it, I thought about this, and I'm thinking about it now, like you describing it, is making me remember, like, usually when stuff gets far away, or especially, like, a character gets far away from where the panel is sitting, where, let's say, where the camera is, they usually have less and less detail, and, like, eventually it's just, like, a blob in the background. But JRJR, he made sure you could see Superman in full detail, jumping over that shit. Like, he really had to get in there with the magnifying glass and make sure that you could still see that guy jumping over a fence. And I wonder if if one day Frank came out and he said, hey, that's my homage to Shaun of the Dead and the all three Edgar Wright movies, because in each one they have a scene where he jumps over a fence. And if he ever said that, I'd be like, oh, I told you, this is a genius book. Nothing bad about it. But I highly doubt that. I don't know Frank Miller, but I know Frank Miller. You understand?
Mm-hmm. That I'm surprised we didn't get Super Wang in his book. We got Bad Wang, so.
You think he maybe would have saw it as a challenge. So being like, what the fuck? This guy gets a dong? I don't get no dong?
Frank Miller would make it a tiny one, though.
You never had to see the dong, though, because he kept using it every episode or issue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, if it was Superman, he would make it very small.
Yeah.
But then Superman would make he would make sure that every single, like, the mermaid, whoever he was with, to tell them, you know, in Red Sun, it's actually bigger. You know, it's the yellow sun. It gives me superpowers, but my payback is that my dick is, you can't see it.
Yeah, you got some blue chew, because
you got some
work underwater.
You got that Red Sun? You got a Red Sun room? Or what? I'll show you how it works.
Then, yeah, let's go up to space. Oh, you died? Oops. Well.
Hey, which actually gets me to something I was thinking about, Garrett, is that I think that they're going to introduce Superman similar to the Scott Snyder Superman Red. What was it called? Remember in the Flashpoint Superman, he was like small and he was captured. Yeah. I think they're going that route.
Project Superman?
Yeah. Project Superman, that's what it was. And it was Scott Snyder, right?
I can't remember. It could have been.
I didn't think it was.
I thought it was. I'll look it up here in a second, but I think they're going that route.
For the movies?
Yeah.
No, that's stupid.
So I don't know if it's something I read. You know what? Actually, hold on, let me ask. Where is this motherfucker?
I feel like that's speculation. I've heard a lot is like he's trying to do his Superman off of like All-Star Superman. Somewhere in that vein. So I don't know. I don't feel like that's a good move.
I feel like I read that in a story somewhere. Maybe it just like conflated in my head, but that is
the only thing I could think of is like the Flash movie. Like adding
this is hashtag guest host one. How may I help you on this evening of evenings?
Corey in Flashpoint there during that event there was a miniseries called Project Superman. And it was about Superman being captured when he was small. He ended up with Ma and Pa Kent. And then the government hit him, and then eventually he got free, and he ends up being the person that helped them save the world, basically, at the end of Flashpoint. I keep wanting to say Injustice. Flashpoint. Do you think they'll go that route with the movies?
I don't know. Why are you asking me? Do I look like the Superman guy?
Well, you don't read Spider-Man, so we thought we'd ask about a different character.
You're right, Marvin.
Well, because Superman Legacy, kinda. What's, bronze tier members, you get an exclusive sneak peek from Garrett today. What's Superman Legacy about, Garrett?
Superman Legacy? Which one's Legacy?
That's what James Gunn announced.
The Superman movie.
Oh, that's the title, right, yeah.
Isn't that based off a graphic novel or something?
There is one called
Okay,
Legacy.
You're here to hear bronze tier. He is not a Superman fan. He doesn't know.
I thought there was. I saw the script thing, but Superman Legacy.
Again, I'll reiterate. He does not know.
That's entertainment, man. I'm on the page.
But basically you're saying that he gets Pa Kent.
Yeah.
Don't find him, and then just the government.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. And once again, okay. If this movie turns out to be just a simple ABC story and turns out entertaining, I'll be fucking surprised. But I'm pretty sure this piece of shit coming out called The Flash is. There's no way that movie's been filmed and all that shit has happened with it that movie's going to come out cohesive. But if in that movie they show Project Superman, and then that becomes like the whoever that actor is that we'll have in there, maybe they'll have that story. And then when they do the flashback, he'll go back and actually be this time met by Ma and Pa Kent and then grow up. Do you think that's possible?
Yeah,
possible.
I like that idea. I mean, because they can play in that toy box with the multiverse, I think that'd be cool. But yeah, do not do your new DC universe with that Project Superman storyline as the basis for your Superman.
You don't want to see him snap a neck again?
I mean, he doesn't need to snap a neck.
I know, but...
I thought you were talking about him crying.
Listen. Hey, Superman can cry, okay? He feels pain.
Hey, it's not about the emotion that he's expressing. It was the way that he chose to express it, I feel like. Mm-hmm. More so.
It's like, all right, bro, you had to kill. Sorry. Jeez. It's like, don't be all Batman.
And he does take a couple beats to start crying like that, and it makes you think that, like, it's not really remorse. It's more like David after the dentist, and he just doesn't know what the fuck's happening.
Right.
Like, he might be...
Dude, stop pouting.
He might be high over there. It sounds like he's on some sort of nitrous. Is that what it's called? Yeah. They give you nitrous?
You hit the NOS button. Yeah.
You hit the NOS? Yeah.
Yeah.
He must have been with family.
Yeah, probably.
Speaking of NOS, I was in LA and we went to Universal Hollywood and on their studio lot tour. A lot about Fast and the Furious, obviously, because, you know, why wouldn't I want? And part of that tour is a Fast and the Furious ride. And Vin Diesel was in it, and The Rock was in it. And I kept thinking back how these two don't get along anymore, and I wonder if this is pre or post that fact. And I think it was. They CGI'd The Rock there, because he didn't say shit. He was just on the side.
Just nodding his head.
And Vin Diesel, that man is pretty old now. And I think after... He does these latest ones. He's going to retire. And then we were just talking about before that he speaks the Groot. And Garrett over here saying that he thinks Groot's going to die.
It was a joke. It's going to be Rocket or Drax. Maybe Star-Lord.
Maybe all of them. All but Gamora.
What do you think, Corey?
Let's do a little
Wednesday Comics prediction and see who gets this right. You can pick. Here's the thing. Everybody can pick one character from Guardians 3. If your character dies, I'm going to assume that's going to be like you won. It can be multiple characters. So if like I say one and Garrett says one, they both die, then we'll get the one. And then the losers will be the losers. And who knows what? We might say four people and they might all die. I call that a big win. But I do I really believe that Drax is going to die.
That's what I was thinking too.
Like... Dave Bautista's been out there being like, yeah, I don't really like it, and it's not really what I was trying to do. And it's like, what's all this backpedaling, and now he wants to get out of here? I assume he got out of there, that's why.
So they immediately wrote, yeah, dude, we're going to kill you really bad.
He's like, get out of here.
Get out of here.
But if you had to choose a second one, Corey, what would it be?
Well, I mean, it seems like your main focus is like Rocket. I mean, even though they show in the trailer Peter with, you know, the Gamora, the what we were expecting, but I think it would be Rocket, just because they're showing him very happy meeting his otter girlfriend and skunk, whatever creature he hugs in the trailer. It's like, oh, things are too happy for him. And he got one more movie than the rest of them, practically. So
that's true, yeah. Maybe that's why he's such a big part of that movie.
Yeah.
Garrett, right. What do you think? You're thinking Star-Lord, huh?
God, I don't know. I'm going to do that pick because based on what I've seen since Endgame, it looks like he doesn't want to be there.
That's true.
Everything.
Holy shit, dude. That is 100% correct. That Christmas special, I'm like, did he come here straight from waking up and then left as soon as they were done?
Right.
Because I know that he's supposed to be like depressed, but even when they show that gesture towards him and he's supposed to be happy, he doesn't get happy. He stays. Right, yeah. So like, this dude doesn't want to be here. And also, it gets me thinking, similar to the Fast story I had from before, was he actually there? Because he doesn't really interact with them that much. He's just like there.
Yeah.
Right. You know, voicing Mario takes a lot of time.
Hey. So, you know. He actually sounded happy in that movie, so like it was a little different. I'm like, this is kind of weird.
And then to be fair, I understand acting in Mario is one thing, but a lot of it's voice work and getting that enthusiasm. You don't have to put it all into your body, though. So
yeah, I thought he checked out since Fallen Kingdom, because like I think ever since Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, he's like,
that's the reason they're not doing like series contracts for anything anymore. It's all movie by movie, because
right. But you're paying me the millions anyway. I'll just
all right, Al.
Alex, what do you think?
Buddy? I don't know. I mean, like originally Drax is my choice, my thought, but it all is in real life. Rocket's a good choice. I don't know. That one's a tough one because, to be fair, the whole team could just get wiped out. Yeah. We no longer need to save the galaxy. There are people on Earth who can fight the shit for us. But just to be different, I will say Groot, the man, the tree almost died in the first one, was reborn, became a cute little baby, became a weird-looking thing in the Christmas special. It's still a weird-looking thing. I just imagine people want to put him down. Like, hey, you know what? You had a good run. You look really good as a baby and as an adult. Now you're in those weird stages. Oof. Get rid of him.
Plus, we're talking about Vin Diesel right here. This man is slowing down. I mean, after Fast and Furious and then the Groot movie, the Guardians movie where he plays Groot, what else he's going to do? I don't think he makes any other movies.
Yeah.
You think we're going to have a resurgence?
I think at the end of Fast 10, he's like, just kidding, we're doing three more.
Or he's like, that's the Fast saga. Now, here to announce my new movie called Toretto.
Yeah. Toretto.
The story.
Family is forever.
The story before the story.
That was good. I like that. Toretto.
It's like him and his brother family growing up forever. Doing missions. That way they can.
And it ends with him beating that guy up with a wrench.
Yeah.
And then I can't wait for the film set in the future, Nico. Eyes are on Nico now.
Then he is, as Alex said, he says that the middle area maybe is not as exciting. They don't sell teenager Groots. They only sell baby and sometimes bigger ones. Mm-hmm. I mean, before the movie, obviously, yes. But ever since the movie, like when you go find something Groot, it's usually baby Groot, which is fine.
Yeah.
Alex thinks he's going to get, thrown through the chipper. It might not be far off. Like, is this like Rocket Raccoon or Groot? Like, how much do these guys get paid to like do? I guess Rocket, I would say that's a full voicing job. But
yeah.
How much are they paying Vin Diesel to come over there and say, "I am Groot"?
Probably a lot more than he should be.
But that's the weird thing, though, is that he has said, "I am Groot," what, 1,000 times? They don't actually need him for any of the movies.
Put him in an AI. Right. That's what I would do too. Put him in
this last one. He's gonna be like, "We are Groot. Groot is family."
I thought that they would go back to, so like in the comics, Groot could talk, and then during, I think it's Annihilation, maybe it's a little bit before that, he gets his throat damaged and it breaks his vocal cords and just makes it like a one piece of wood, and so he can only say I am Groot after that. So it's like part of the story why he can say that. It's not like how he's born. So I thought in the show, when he got reborn, not the show, the movie, when he died and came back, I thought he would actually start talking, but he hasn't yet.
Well, they're treating him like Chewbacca, you know, like he's saying stuff and they're like, whoa.
Oh, have you seen that behind the scenes of Star Wars where on set Chewbacca, Peter Mayhew would say lines like what Chewbacca is supposed to be saying, and then they would dub it over with the Wookiee language.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
There's clips of him being like, well, go tell them that. And it's just like, I guess he's not going to do the Wookiee voice on set. So obviously, yeah, they are doing it so that way Han Solo can react to it.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah, so they can react. I never knew that. That's fun.
I wonder if they do the same thing with Groot. Like, I am Groot instead of that. That's after the fact. And they.
Vin Diesel, family!
Because I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure Vin Diesel doesn't even, like, mocap that guy. Isn't it just Sean Gunn?
Yeah, Sean does probably. Rocket and Groot.
So, like,
sometimes.
Like, he probably does Cosmo, too.
Mrs. Saldana probably was like, hey, yeah, you come in, they capture your performance. I know, I've been in this Avatar, and Vin Diesel was like, nah, not today. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't entertain the possibility they kill off Gamora so Peter and Nebula can be together.
That's so dumb.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Corey, anyway. Which one's going to be better, Marvels or Guardians 3?
Guardians 3. Even though I am intrigued because, you know, I'll give Marvels a chance because, you know, we'll see what happens. Surprise me. Wow me. And if you do, you got my money.
But there's one complaint I've seen already, and I kind of agree with it. It's just a costume complaint. They take their they take Miss Marvel, even Captain Marvel, and Monica Rambeau's costumes and make them look fucking horrible.
I know,
like they look so stupid.
Yeah, because I thought Miss Marvel's in the show is awesome. Why did they change it?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, it's the same thing where they change the other Avengers outfits every time they're in a movie. Is to sell more product.
But for the better, not for the worse.
That's not true. Because Captain America had fantastic outfits, and then his second showing is Avengers, and that is the worst outfit he could have.
He fast-forwarded 90 years into the future, okay? You got to get with the times. And hugging tight to your body. He learned. He had to be America's ass first.
I don't remember that being the America's ass, but I guess you're right. I've seen that ass. It looked way better than all the other movies.
I guess they've had bad costumes before, like Captain America and Avengers. And so, I mean, I just looked at it, Garrett. That's why I was quiet. I was looking at it because I actually forgot that trailer came out. And so I've only seen stills. And I just looked at it, and it looks like puffy. Like it's covering too much of her face. Because in the comics it almost looks like, and I think actually she like made it her mom made it out of traditional clothing, and so it looked kind of like loose and very like small over her eyes because she didn't have a lot to work with. And this one looks like that's like tons of material. I don't know.
Like, Tony paid for everyone to get outfits in the future, too. I like that.
And it almost looks like, like a puffer jacket. I don't know why I get the puffer jacket vibe, but...
Sure.
You know what? I'm going to take a risk here. I'm going to go against all you guys, and I think that the Marvels will be better than Guardians.
Really? Aren't you... I thought you were, like, a way bigger James Gunn fan.
I know. I'm saying I'm taking the opposite approach of you guys, you know, mixing it up.
He just wants to be the go against the
crowd. If they do pull it off, it does look like a fun, and I've talked with Scientist Sam about this, it does look like a fun, like, Freaky Friday type concept if they pull it off.
Yeah, that's true.
The only reason I say this, that something could possibly go wrong from Guardians 3, was the Guardians Christmas special. I don't think it was as good as the first two movies. You know, like it was I feel like it was very It was funny and good, but also was like, this doesn't feel like Guardians to me.
It was okay.
Yeah. So it's like, are we going to get another movie that's like that? That's like, and also it's like kind of obviously a big chance of being a, more of a comedy than an action movie, similar to what we've been getting. And so, I don't know. That's the only thing I could see, that the dice rolls the wrong way in that one.
The Christmas special was on Disney Plus. Clearly, all we're doing is pumping out stuff for people to see. This is a movie that you're actually have to carry on from this point on. And if they're going to actually kill some characters off, or at least a character off, there's got to be more at stake. And I guess who knows? There may not even be anyone who dies. I haven't seen Ant-Man 3 yet. And from the sounds of it, it doesn't really matter whether or not I see it, because there are no stakes at hand. So anyway, who knows? Guys, we could be wrong. Captain could show up in this movie. Someone else could show up in this movie. It could be a crap fest. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Well, I'm just saying, there's no point in being even excited. I want to be excited for this movie, but we're still in the MCU, so guess what? Well, until they have shown me differently.
Al has a good point.
But James Gunn was from the Prime, baby.
He was.
He did the Christmas special, which was mid.
Okay, yeah, because they've been promising the Christmas special for like 2 years. So he threw some shitty story together with Kevin Bacon, and it had Mantis and Drax, basically, because, yeah.
Star-Lord didn't even seem like he cared that Kevin Bacon was
there. Yeah, I know. That's what I was going to say. The first movie, he seemed like he's such a fan of his, that when he sees him in that special, it's almost like that he's his fucking neighbor. Like he sees him every day. It's like it was no reaction. Right. And then also, I think something about that Christmas special, like, it ruins the lore for me a little bit, that they have established that he loves Kevin Bacon, thinks, and they'll think, like, oh, he's the greatest, he's, like, the most popular guy ever. Now that he met old Kevin Bacon, he realizes, like he went back to Earth for just this. Like, because he hasn't been back in any of the movies yet.
That's true.
And so they show them for the first time on Earth in this Christmas special. And it's, like, now, like, that he's met Kevin Bacon that old, he realizes that, like, oh, he was just an actor, when that was like, but they don't address any of that. He's just like, oh, it's Kevin Bacon. Like, so that, I think that's right. Why that special felt so off to me is that, like, it didn't even abide by his own rules that they've been setting up this Kevin Bacon joke, but they ignored the setup completely.
Sure.
I wish that they never would have even gone to the Kevin Bacon joke. I wish that they would have shown up and it would have been someone else in disguise as Kevin Bacon. And then they would have gotten their asses kicked from that point on. And then when they got back to Star-Lord, they could have said, hey, we were going to bring you Kevin Bacon. Turns out he was an imposter, like
a Skrull.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, maybe we'll see him in Secret Invasion. Good point.
Oh my God, that'd be so sweet.
I got other news, I guess.
Corey?
From the Marvelverse. Did you hear that? Now, again, I have not heard any confirmations or denials, but that Jonathan Majors talent manager left him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that.
And then I read the comments of that post, and you want to hear the funniest thing? You know who someone says should be his replacement? Terrence Howard.
Oh, God.
I don't know if he's without
circle.
Yeah, I don't know if he's without controversy either, so...
I know, I'm just kidding.
What was that show that he was on for the longest time, like on Fox or something like that?
Empire.
Oh. Man, yeah, this guy show up. He's already got that, you know, he's got, just make him play that same character. There you go.
Next time, baby.
And they do that, you know, if they were dumb enough to do that, they also would include in one movie when War Machine's like by him, he would look at him like, do I know you? And be like, oh, look at, he used to be that guy.
They'd be like,
Well, I mean, we talked about it before. If you set your whole movies around one character and then that, like, this happens, which I'm surprised because I feel like before in the past, Disney and Marvel were like, here's your contract. It's for this amount of movies. You're going to stay out of fucking trouble. Otherwise, like, we have
lose out on millions of dollars.
Like, yeah, like, this is your last chance. We'll blackball you from this business, everything. And so those actors were a little more trying to, you know, keep out of the public light, yada, yada. They're a little loose leaf now, I feel like. Not just because of this, because I see, like, it's so weird because, like, a lot of the people they've been setting up for future movies are younger, so I see them on social media more, and there's some things I'm just like, there's no way that Marvel knows what they're posting out here with some of this stuff. Not that right. It's, like, anything that would make you think differently of them, but I'm just saying, like, they're pretty loose with the spoilers. Not spoilers, but, like, hinting at shit all the time now. Or before, they would have been like, I'm going to get fired if I do this.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, but the other thing, though, is that they put out spoilers all the time for other stuff. I mean, I still think comic book-wise, when we got the Batman-Catwoman stuff, that had gotten spoiled. The world lives for just spoiling shit before it even happens.
That's Alex. See,
yeah.
He longs for the days when you would go to a movie and not even know what it was about.
I think that's part of it, though. I only watch usually the one trailer unless I come across something that I just can't help but look at. I still like to be surprised when I go to the movies. There's still things that I only will watch the first, or maybe if I go to a different movie and I happen to see the next one, great. But like when we went to go see No Way Home, I didn't want to see anything about it. I wanted to go into it and enjoy it for what it was and try not to speculate, because that's how I ruined all the other Spider-Man movies. I built them up and they were shit.
Because they were never as good as what you three built.
And same with like when I went to go see Thor Love and Thunder. Built it up thinking this movie's going to be phenomenal. Guess what? It took a giant shit.
It was phenomenally not.
I mean, no one has sold me on watching Ant-Man 3. So I get that is the times of this phase that we are in.
What I would do, Alex, is go on YouTube and search MODOK's best moments in that movie, and that's it. Like, you're good. Because everything he does is gold in that fucking movie.
Yeah.
But everything around, it almost, like, and for me, probably showed me, like, how much I didn't really like the rest of the movie, because he was so gold. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is what I've been waiting for. Like, at least I'm laughing at this. And that actor, who actually I thought was pretty one-dimensional, actually did a good job with the comedic stuff, so. Corey Duvall, yeah. I think his name is.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Good. Yeah, that's all I would watch, Alex. Don't even worry about it. Because you don't even watch the shows, really. So, like, really, a lot of things they've been setting up, like, are going to be new to you anyway, so you'll need to go watch that movie.
Secret Invasion, June, I think.
Yeah, I think it was June.
I think so. I saw a lot of posters for it at Disneyland, but now I forget.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks like it's cinematic and
quality. I'm ready for it to go back, guys. I'm ready to be excited for a super. I thought about that the other day when I went to Mario, which is like the four of us have gotten together forever to go see a movie because we haven't been excited for like these things. Be like, yeah, we got to go see it together. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got mine. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, out. Damn.
Come on, Alex, I'm sorry. When you bring someone back from the 70s who did a fantastic job in the first three movies, and then they brought him back for the fourth movie, and it took a shit on you, and now to be excited for the fifth one? No.
Listen.
Well, hashtag Wednesday comic fans, here's something that needs to be said. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, wait for it, is good.
What?
I looked
in the trash.
It's good. I'm not saying it's as great as the first three, but I don't know what people were like. So there's nothing that I'm like, oh, I'm pissed off. I hate this.
There were space aliens in it.
George Lucas is the writer.
Yeah.
If anybody was going to write space aliens. Why would you have to mix
Star Wars with your Indiana Jones? I want to see this do badass shit. Not watch him go into a little cavern going, wow, there's nine aliens in here. Oh, and this crystal skull. Wow. Who gives a shit?
Kate Blanchett.
What about when he crawls into that that refrigerator and survives the nuclear blast?
He's still dead.
Hey, the warehouse scene was cool.
That was cool. The beginning was good.
You know, I think, I'm going to say this. Not that I agree with Corey 100%, but I do see where he's coming from. If you take away all the anticipation you had for that movie and just watch for what it is, it's fine. It's not horrible. But I would say the same thing about Spider-Man 3. Like, if you take away all your anticipation you had for that movie,
right,
and you just go back and watch it now for what it is, it's fine.
The original Tobey Maguire?
Yeah.
No, Spider-Man 3. Yeah, it's the original. Yeah, Spider-Man 3. Okay. Venom.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, there's two Spider-Man 3s at least. I'd agree with that one, I guess. Spider-Man 3 is fine.
Yeah, because it's like as good as any animated TV episode.
But I will say this about Dial of Destiny. James Mangold is directing it, and he pre-wrote the script before he did it. And if that man did such an amazing job with, like, Logan, if anybody's going to do an old grizzled hero for doing one last job, it's going to be James. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And I would say that would be one where I would show up full gear. Let's go. But if Alex doesn't, I understand that too. He doesn't like when the alien showed up because he hates space. So
space fucking sucks.
Man, you're an angry elf tonight. Corey, you should have heard the threats that Alex was throwing. He's like, I'm going to throw tornadoes at you. And
it's just the way Alex said it. Like, you control the weather. It happened to be that I was going to fuck over Garrett every time I could.
Yeah, hey, you know what he instantly thought of? I'm going to send tornadoes to Wisconsin. That's what he said.
If you're going
to
go hunting out west, I'm going to give you some snow. Or make sure the snakes come out. And the last one was, if I got sick, I'd throw a tornado over at Wisconsin, blow it up. So,
Corey, did you tell the guys your news?
Oh, I'm moving to Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. Actually, don't tell anybody. I shouldn't have said that out loud. If people no, never mind. They didn't say anything. You said something. Corey, you're weird.
Do you think they listened to our show? I got it.
My favorite. I want a quick sidebar. But my favorite line from Alex Pastrana of all time is now: space fucking sucks.
We are talking about space, and I'll say that with the hard cut, so I can take that out for my friend there. Something happened there, and I'm gonna tease that. Corey just said something that I cut out of the show, and you're never gonna hear it. So.
Okay, perfect. Well, I put myself in a compromising situation.
Anyways, when that tornado hits me, you know, let's just say family ain't alone.
And you're just meaning that, like you said before, family is the best thing, and so you meant your extended family.
That's right.
Everybody that you consider family, yeah.
Right, like Spy Kids. Everyone's family.
Spy Kids and Toretto's. Oh, what about I have a crossover? That's what he can do.
Ooh.
That's a Belgian property, though.
What?
No, wait. No, it's not.
Columbia.
Which is Sony. Dumbass. Well,
I'm pretty sure they'll work something out. Yeah, they got to work something out here. Corey, we've had some good discussions tonight, some hypotheticals thrown your way, and I feel like we were at a good place with our guesses. One more guess for you. Do you think The Flash is going to be good or bad?
I still think it'll be good because even though Ezra Miller is pretty scummy, I still have faith they made a good movie. Because there's some fun ideas in there that could be executed well, but again, they obviously are not going to move forward with Ezra Miller. So honestly, I'll just default to I don't know. We'll have to see.
Alex, what do you think?
I think it could be okay, depending on who else they have really showing up in that movie, along with the fact if they finally cut out the dumb running. I don't care about Ezra Miller being it. I mean,
did you see the trailer?
No, of course I haven't.
Even the little kid that plays Barry as a child runs shitty. It's not going to get better.
Nope. It's going to be shit.
The kid's basically hitting himself on the forehead every time he raises his arm.
I literally see him right now when you're saying that.
I saw it and I instantly thought of you guys. I was like, God, they keep fucking get a runner in here to teach these guys some coordination.
Because I was going to say, it almost seems like they understand he looks dumb and they're like, we're going to make it look dumber. Like,
yeah.
It just, and yeah.
Here's the origin of the shitty running.
Because they would have to tell that kid, run like this. He's not just going to naturally run like that. So it is clear that that's how they want the Flash to run.
That's so dumb.
Got to be different.
Corey's,
I think,
right,
at that point, yeah, in time, I would never rather see the, I'd never even want to see the Flash. I'd literally just want to see the crimson blur of him running.
Wow. That's how they do it with everything else, so I think,
yeah, it worked out fine. Just, it was just fine the way it was, so why fix it?
They could do like Quicksilver. Those would always have been good.
Yeah, I like that. I just watched that scene again recently. It was good.
Well, where he got shot by a million machine gun holes.
No, the other Quicksilver, you dick.
Right, did some stuff, and yeah.
I hope the first time we see him, he's running like the Flash, and then he changes his pace. And
see, if I was making a Flash movie, I'd give the biggest FU to that scene for Quicksilver. It's like, what? It's just machine gun fire. You guys can't miss. You can't dodge that.
I don't want to think of machine gun fire. I think of Superman Returns, where he just keeps walking into the gas.
Corey,
gun.
You're making fun of Kraven's son.
That's right. He's probably triggered by this scene. And I'm sorry, because I know you don't like to hunt Aaron Johnson, Kraven's son.
He's pretty sure the description said that he was a pacifist, so he would not. He would never even be near guns.
So maybe it wouldn't be Kraven the Hunter. It'd just be Haven the Peacemaker.
Mm-hmm. There has to be a YouTube reenactment of that pitch to the studio. Hey, you know that badass Kraven the Hunter that hunts things and is like very menacing and strikes the fear into Spider-Man? Yeah, let's make him a bitch-ass pacifist. Yeah, that'll make us money.
Hey.
That's it.
It would never reach the limits that Morbius have set already. Twice at the box office.
I still have never seen it.
Brought back by popular demand. Insinuated popular demand. Not actual popular demand. I have never seen it either. And it is like, I know I saw it on some streaming service, Netflix, I think.
I think so, Netflix.
On Netflix, yeah.
And still, no desire. Like, it's right there, and I could just play it. I don't even think it's that long. But I'm like,
I'm just like, time is money. You know, you can't waste your time on that.
You're right. Life is like time, except we don't have watches. God. Good one, Garrett. I don't got Morbius in my watch hand. You understand? Like, it's not like Morbius is pointing at the time and letting me know how much life I have left. He sucks it out of you. Why would I want to watch it? It's Corey.
All that, they call that Morbin time.
All right, that's Corey. see ya.
Get the fuck out.
Okay, well, this is hashtag guest host one signing off again to quote Alex Pastrano, space fucking sucks, and stay classy, San Francisco. Put that into a t-shirt. All right.
Damn it. I was going to remove him. He doesn't hang up on me. Here we go. Comics coming out. Comics coming out this week. I'll just let you know ahead of time. Nothing piqued my interest. It's a very
it's
weak
slim
week.
Pickings.
But something that is not slim pickings, and it's Superman number 3, the 85th anniversary, as we just stated earlier in the show. Joshua Williamson, Jamal Campbell, Superman's loved ones are transformed into ravenous parasites. If Superman wants to find Parasite Zero before its influence spreads to the whole world, he must take Lex up on his offer to work together, even if that means using another of Superman's enemies as bait. So there you go. In the cover, everybody has a little parasite in them, huh?
Yeah. I mean, this has been the new volume, the Dawn of DC Superman, and it's been really good. It's been fun on Clark Kent Superman and some of his A-listers in his rogues gallery, like Parasite. Instead of having one giant parasite, now there's a parasite that multiplies and can infect others. So it's been great. The art's good. And, you know, it's fun. Like, Joshua Williamson is always good at telling a good story. And so far I've been having a blast. Like, Metallo's in it. Lex Luthor's in it. You got John's still in it. There's two kids from the War World arc that are in it, and Lois, you know. So no, it's been it's back to that Superman family that I love. So
there you go. The cover has Lois kissing Superman. He's trying to get away. So if you want to read the story about Superman trying not to catch chlamydia, that's what this is.
Jesus,
I'm just saying. Those people got it. They all got a parasite, and he doesn't want any of it. And she's trying to get up on him. So that's an allegory for Keeping it wrapped STDs? Up. Yeah, keep it wrapped.
Jesus.
Damn.
All Eight Eyes by Scott Fox and Peter Kowalski. In the forgotten corners of the post 9/11 New York City, skittering shapes in the darkness prey on the people society leaves behind. College dropout Vince Spencer floats through life in a drug and party fueled haze until one terrible night sweeps him into a drifter's reckless war against the giant egg, eight-legged horrors stalking the city. And then it goes into something that Garrett hates. Jaws meets Arachnophobia and this new vision of creature feature terror from Eisner-nominated writer Scott Fox and Dredd-inspiring artist Peter Kowalski. What do you think about these eight-legged freaks, huh?
So, to be fair, I may or may not actually get this book. If the spiders are too well-drawn, I won't get the book because it'll be actually too scary for me to read. I do have arachnophobic. I am arachnophobic to an extent. And honestly, I don't know. I put this on here thinking, oh, this could be really good. And then I also remembered that there's an issue. Gosh, I don't remember what it was called. But it's from Rick Remender, and there was a spider on the cover, and it gave me the willies just to touch the book.
The willies?
Yeah, let alone to actually read the book. And I felt the same way about when I was reading Aquaman. And it was like Mother Shark, and she's this ginormous shark, scared the shit out of me. So I might not get this book, but I also thought it sounded really interesting.
Alex, how arachnophobic are you? If there was a spider in front of you and you had like a broom, could you kill it?
How big is the spider?
House spider, you know. Let's say... Let's say a little bit bigger than a quarter.
Pretty decent size part. With a broom, I could probably do it. I would most likely just get my shoe and smash the shit out of it.
Okay, so you have your shoe. Let's say you have your shoe. Do you think you could kill it?
Yes.
You didn't ask all the questions. It has an AK-47 in its hands that's ready to blast.
How big is an AK-47?
Spider size.
Okay, then I should still be fine.
That could still kill you if a little bullet went in you.
Hurt, but he doesn't have. I guess he probably could.
The gun.
It out,
the gun remains the same strength as a normal AK.
So it's like Ant-Man.
Yeah.
You're right. I didn't ask enough questions.
Do you like that movie Eight Legged Freaks with Dave Arquette?
Never seen it.
Oh, I wonder if he would get scared of those ones because they're not. I mean, they look like regular spiders, but they also like talk. They don't talk.
He'd hate that beginning though, where they're like all the setup.
Yeah, they
it
do.
It would.
It's a horror comedy, so there is still some horror elements with the spiders.
So I was 5 or 6 when my family and I watched Arachnophobia.
You were 5 or 6?
Because I remember still living in Sioux Falls. To begin with, so I had it was either between 5 and 10. I'm guessing I had to be 6. I remember watching that and crying and blubbering like the tiny baby I was.
Yeah, because you went from watching freaking Bambi to watching spiders and shit everywhere. Are you kidding?
So
you should not have been watching that when you were 6 years old.
Well, I won't watch it now either.
Yeah, jeez.
So,
who was your babysitter, man?
He said he watched with his parents.
With your folks?
Yeah. Oh, and I remember sitting with my sister crying next to her. So,
you know what? To be fair, though, if it was a horror movie about like a spider and like you're not afraid of spiders, I'd probably be like, yeah, it's not that scary. Like, it's not like a killer or a monster. It's like a spider. So maybe that's what they were thinking, you know, old Papa Petrello over there, you know, and sometimes though, maybe Alex, quit being a little bitch and, you know, man up.
I tell you what, spiders, I'm still a bitch.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, how old were you with that movie? You're watching the movie? 5?
Yeah, 5 or 6 probably.
All right. Grow some hair on that chest, 5-year-old Alex. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, 33-year-old me still doesn't have much hair on his chest, so.
That's going to be the next pitches out there for the eight-legged freak fans out there. VR horror game with spiders in them. Like the spiders are after you.
Hey, you know what? When you like, have you ever played Skyrim, guys?
Yes. Yeah.
They have those frostbite spiders. Fucking scary as shit.
Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order has spiders all over the place. So does Mr. Hogwarts Legacy. So,
well, see, spiders are Hogwarts Legacy be tough because those ones, every time I watch Aragog in the second movie and they show his big freaking face, I have a spider sense in the back of my head screaming at me to look away. Like, literally, my brain wants to blow out the back of my head and run away because it's so fucking scary.
You come to a fork in the road, and behind you is certain death. In front of you is the fork in the road, and one side has that spider, and then the other way has the spider from the Lord of the Rings. Which one do you go fight?
Oh, God.
I go backwards and just die in that certain death.
You just take the D.
Yeah.
So,
what's behind me?
He says, I'm going to die in any of them. Might as well just go my way.
I would say, since Aragog actually doesn't do anything himself, I would go towards Aragog. Because I know Shigoth is it Shigoth?
Yeah, Shalob.
So. Shalob.
Shalob, there you go. I know she's willing to kill me.
Yeah, she'll suck you out.
She'll impale you and then eat you later.
She'll suck you out so much you'll be dry. Don't worry.
Oh, God.
No. If behind me is like a chainsaw wielding bad guy,
yeah,
they're all bad options, but.
But you would rather verse them than a spider.
I think I could at least beat the chainsaw guy.
I mean, it's very possible. Brought to you by RainbowComicsAndCards.com. Brought to you by RainbowComicsAndCards.com. Your definitive place for all things comics. Go to RainbowComicsAndCards.com to find their Sioux Falls and Lincoln, Nebraska locations.
By the way, tonight I can guarantee you I will have a nightmare about spiders.
Really, this triggers it.
I'm sitting here like freaking out. About, what if a giant spider's leg comes in front of me right now while I'm sitting downstairs? I'm going to shit my pants and cry like a little baby.
Have you original Jumanji movie with Robin Williams?
Yeah.
Dude, those spiders.
Yeah, but those look like they're scary, but I also like I can see how they walk is not real. It is part of the reason is how their eyes look, the fact they don't blink. If they did blink, it'd just be as fucking scary. And how they move, how their legs go, just no. No.
Garrett, we have a book club.
Wednesday Comics League of Extraordinary Gentle People proudly presents
Spider-Man, scariest shit ever. No.
Oh my God.
Batman, Streets of Gotham, number one. I got to think here. Dustin Nguyen and written by
Paul Dini. Pauly Dini. So I read this in the issue, and I believe, Garrett, you're doing the trade.
Yeah, I'm doing the trade. Yeah, my issues are. Back in Sioux Falls.
So. Alex, how are you reading it?
I have the issues. I read it on my way down to Omaha, so I read it on Hoopla.
Okay.
Through the trade.
So remember that time, Garrett? It was around the time when Draw the Line at $2.99. When they started like dipping their foot into $3.99, I said, wait a second. Well, we're going to put a backup on all these books then. Don't worry, you get two stories. This was during that time. Because when I read the issue at the end, it had a Manhunter backup, which was fine. It looked fine. I didn't really try to read it until, and we weren't going to talk about it anyway, so I didn't really need to read it. But the beginning portion, which is about 22 pages, is like when they first started cutting back on page count. And I'm reading this issue thinking, I thought what was presented to us was Dustin's win art, I think, is good. The coloring, I think, is a little off for his art style. Or maybe I think I just prefer them in watercolors. And the story, I think, was very good, but also feels very short. Like, it may almost like that Paul doesn't know how to write, didn't know what, like, to include in this one. It doesn't feel complete, this first issue. But otherwise, I thought it was good with what we got.
Yeah, I feel like he wrote, like, the entire arc, and then... like they had to find hard cuts for like each issue, because that's what I was feeling like when we got to the end of issue one and, you know, they see the burning city and it just kind of like ends. Like, I imagine there was a to be continued, like, but what I will say is how fucking great is it to have Dick Grayson Batman and like the OG Damian back together again. It was so nice. And yeah, Dustin Lin's art's not as crisp, but
hang on.
God, it what was fun.
Did I not read the right first issue?
I told you there was two other things before Streets Gotham 1.
I read the Hush part.
No. I literally asked you in our chat. We were supposed to read Streets of Gotham issue 1. Those are two different. That was, let me look here.
That's like a
I
detective.
I sent you a picture.
Oh.
Alex, you didn't. God. You know, sometimes you just don't listen. I'm just kidding.
The thing is, the my book is like number one. Oh, great. It's going to start right here. And I was confused. Why? Although I should have asked you guys earlier, why am I only reading the Hush thing?
Yeah, the Hush thing is the prelude to Streets of Gotham.
Because I was going to say, in this issue, Bruce Wayne Hush is, what's his name, Thomas?
Thomas Elliot.
Thomas Elliot is in jail already for what happens in those two issues. And I remember liking those two issues. They're really good. So I was wondering why, like, on the way home, I was like, why would they put those two in there? And I was like, oh, it's the Hush story that they reference in this issue. Which I don't know how I remember that, Alex, because like that's how I knew when you're like Hush. I was like, oh no, that's you read Detective. I tell you, the memory's coming back, baby. You know, year 2023. You know, we're all memories back. But during this time of Batman was when they started doing. Not only had the Streets of Gotham, they very much like invested in Hush and Penguin and street level. There's like a street level kind of Batman along with the detective and everything else, you know, with the going on with what happened to Batman going into the time stream, yada, yada, yada. And so like, if I like the tone of this, like, I like how it feels ground level. Thomas Elliott is in it. And I think I like that character. Maybe not to a huge degree that he pops into my mind when I think of Batman characters, but when I read him, I've never been like, oh, this guy again. And I thought,
well,
go ahead.
Well, I was agreeing with you that it's just refreshing not to have just Two-Face or Penguin or Joker in a Batman book. Like, I feel like we've been doing been like the same rotation or like even Clayface. I'm just like seeing Firefly and seeing Hush. I'm like, God, it's just refreshing.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Those
new blood.
It almost, that's what was exciting for me reading this issue was those two were gonna be the villains. I was like, holy shit! Like, it's the last time I seen Firefly around. Like, when's the last time I've seen a Thomas Elliott story? And I did also have flashbacks to this time because I remember when Bruce died, that Thomas Elliott took over as Bruce Wayne and like tried to be him. And I was like, wow, like it's a very pre popularization of that character. And then he really became about like, oh no, Batman can't be in a book that's not the biggest story of the whole thing. Like, it's nice having this little kind of grounding. And Paul Dini does not, for his dialogue, does not like try to hold back by like saying, oh, this character is a piece of shit. This is something they would say. And then some people were like, but I'm not going to write that. Paul Dini doesn't care. Like, the way that they describe at the end, this kid is a prostitute. And they're like, I don't even want to repeat it, kind of. About like making comments about this girl. And I was just like, holy shit, like, I don't know if this would ever be in a comic anymore.
Yeah, not today, no.
That like threw me for a fucking loop. Yeah. Alex, when you read it, you'll know.
Well, I'm looking at, so I'm not reading it right now, I'm just looking at the stuff. You talked about the colors, and the things with the colors is that if it's not Batman related, or even Firefly related, you're right, the colors do look off. They're almost too bright for the style of art.
Yeah.
But then when you get into the specific Batman scenes, or even when Robin's on it, they look right. They look like they're bright enough, but then they do enough shade work, or at least darkening, that was really good. But I was looking at just the regular police work stuff, and I thought, oh, that doesn't look, it doesn't look quite right.
Yeah,
I am excited to read this issue, by the way. I will probably just read it when I get done with you guys tonight.
And nowadays, Dustin Nguyen would, his work would be line heavy and it'd be watercolors, so this colors are more subtle over it. And I think maybe just because like that's the way he's been doing things probably since Little Gotham, Little Gotham, and then obviously, you know, the classics, Descender, and, you know,
Little Vampires.
Little Vampires, and the sequel to Descender, which I know is called Ascender. All these kind of books, like, he kind of kept this style. So it was kind of weird. I think maybe it's weird more than anything. It was, I never, now that you're telling me about these Batman scenes, I do remember not thinking anything of it. It was like those first couple pages when it was the crowd scenes that I was just like, wow, like, I don't know. He would never display his art like this anymore. I don't feel.
Well, that. even the scene where the guy gets hit with the abuse brass knuckles, that coloring looks off. Instead of being darkened up, it's
oh yeah.
It's so
Clayface is also in this book. He just runs.
Yeah.
So like even like these three characters, like I don't know. It did feel like maybe this issue was artificially cut shorter than it tended to be. But I think I liked what I got. I just felt like, oh, well, where's the rest of this? I know it feels like I'm missing more of this. But maybe because this was around the time where, like I said, when they started cutting back on page count really big drastically, maybe was a story built for a different page count and then you had to cut around it. So, yeah, Alex, when you get to reading this book and they say those things to that little girl at the end.
That pulled me out.
Let us know what you think. Yeah, let us. It did pull me out too, almost to a point where I was like, I don't know if it's necessary to be this, like, to say this. Like, you could be a shitty person without having them say this to a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of weird because it's like, this person is supposed to be vile. This person is supposed to be somebody who would say shit like this. But then seeing in it makes me think that Paul Dini had to think that and write it out and be like, basically he I don't know. It's basically they sexualized like a 10 to 12 year old girl. And like, it feels like it's a little too much. Like,
yeah, it's a little creepy.
Yeah. It's almost like, why is this coming out of your mouth? So, and who knows? I remember not thinking anything of it at the time, but it definitely was like, holy shit, what the fuck?
I mean, I remember Batman being a lot darker than it is today.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think they would.
A lot more grit.
I don't think they would make this anymore, not only for the fact that, like, it seems a little too mature for a DC book. It might be on Black Label, but I don't think they would ever. Like, Batman's not this kind of street level anymore. Like, all the stories, especially since Scott and the Owls have been, like, mystery. Like, oh, there's a big conspiracy and big. Even in Tom King's, it was like this whole big grand Bane scheme. Nothing's ever just like crimes that are happening in the street. The Firefly thing is fantastic, and then we also got another story that's going to probably be as good too.
Man, I just gotta say, my boy! It was so nice seeing like Damian before he kind of gets a little watered down. Over the years.
Yeah, he's
so
good in this.
This is prime Damian, so I do give credit to Dini on his characterization of even Dick Grayson, like, as Batman. I just thought did a really good job with those two, and it's also nice having Jim Gordon in the book. You know, Jim Gordon's not around as much in the current DCU, so it was refreshing to have him back, too.
I feel like he's a character that they're slowly trying to not have it be in the books anymore, for whatever reason. But, like, whenever they have a chance to rewrite that universe, he's not commissioner. it was nice to be like, oh yeah, this feels like if this book came out today, like this kind of street level storytelling and Jim Gordon's involved in a lot of it, I would say that they're trying to go back to basics. But in this kind of age, when this book came out, this wasn't going back to basics. This was like the kind of Batman book you could expect. So,
well, so this came out in 2011. This would be just the year before New 52 hit the stands.
Yeah. This was a great time for Batman. I loved from Grant's run to the end, you know, before the relaunch. I think it was some good Batman stories coming out. So much so that they really didn't fuck with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they took a while off Batman.
Yeah.
And then, like, when Dick came back, you know, it was about, it only was like a year or so, and then Bruce was back, so.
There we go. Alex, I'm excited to read the rest of this. It's a good pick so far. You know, bring
that. Next week I'll actually read it.
Not that you know, but yeah, it was good.
You'll get there. Hey, that Hush issue is good too. The Hush issue is good too.
The first one I read was really good. I mean, I enjoyed. I mean, I was like, why am I reading only Hush? Why is this called Batman Gates of Gotham? Batman never shows the fuck up. Turns out when you're an idiot and when Garrett asks you, hey, did you read the first two? I did. I only read the first one, and it was not the first issue of this run. So
here's how I reacted to Garrett saying that. I saw that and I was like, wait, what did I read? And I was like, no, I read it in an issue, so it wouldn't have been the trade. And so I looked for Street of Gotham's number one. So You'll get to it. And also,
I chose Gates of Gotham, or I chose Streets of Gotham because I own the issues and I could read them. So because I thought I was being smart and read it on my phone, I looked dumb.
There you go, Alex. You'll catch up next week. Don't worry, buddy.
Yeah, I got you.
You know, you're like Clayface. You let the punches happen and you'll mold to them, baby. Don't worry about it. Saga number 63, and I believe somebody mentioned it earlier that was a book that we were going to talk about, and Brian K. Vaughan and Fiona Staples, as always, probably not going to change ever. I think even if one of them, unfortunately, and I say this with a big unfortunate in front of it, if one of them somehow were to pass away, I think the book would just end. No, they wouldn't try to replace the other person. So,
No way.
No, but in this issue, we're in a good place right now where a lot of stuff is happening. We're getting near the climax of the story, at least for this second half that we've been in. Probably one of the first touch points for the rest of the story. For this book to, and I say this every time, and I was thinking today, I was like, when we put this book in a book on the list to like talk about and review, how many times can I just say like perfection? Like it and I was just like it every single time. I was like, I wonder if I'm going to remember and be able to get into, like, how long is it going to take me to get into this? And with other books, it might take a few pages, sometimes maybe a little longer, but Saga, it's always that first panel, I'm back in.
Agreed.
Yeah.
The opening of this book was, I read the first panel 3 or 4 times because I kept putting the book down. But every time I read it, Hazel brings me right back into the book. And I look at Squire's face, and Squire's face has a zombie hand coming out of it. I thought, yep, I'm excited for this. And when they ask her, hey, we heard that you think that you can bring people back from the dead. And I'm like, oh, shit, this is going to get real. And then she shows them how she brought that thing back. She goes, it's going to take a lot more magic than this, but it could be done. And this book didn't have nearly as much excitement as I expect it to have sometimes. But I think that's part of what I love about this whole series is that I expect there to be more to it. And yet it's the subtle beats, it's the quiet issues that I almost enjoy more.
I mean, it is almost like right now we are watching the pot of water and the bubbles are coming. It's about to boil over, I feel like. A lot of shit happening, popping off in this thing. And the way you said too, Alex, was the way they were going to, she showed them how she can bring people back. It was almost like Thanos bringing back Vision. So, I wonder if they'll need his body or if she could just do it. Seems like she would need something, right?
I mean, maybe is.
That's what I said.
That head's got to come back into the picture.
And I said from the beginning, we're going to see that head again. God. I should be the psychic. No, I'm not. I don't even know why I said that. Alex was going to be the forecaster. But you could have the forecaster and the psychic. And I would say, hey, I think it's going to rain tomorrow. I'm like, Alex, make it rain tomorrow.
More importantly, you and I could just hustle the shit out of everybody.
I was going to say, it's a hustle game. It's not like I'm trying to actually have powers here. It's a hustle game, baby. yeah. Speaking of hustling.
I think you can do sports betting on weather, but...
In this issue, we have a lot of side characters, too. Like, characters who aren't obviously our leads. But whenever they're on screen, too, it just feels like they're all part of an ensemble kind of cast, even though the rest of the ensemble doesn't get as much focus as our main characters, but they don't feel any less. Like when I get to cut to their story, I'm like, oh, this fucking story again. So like, I wanted to say that like for these two to create an array of characters that you never feel like you're being short shifted and being like, oh, here's the BC storyline. Like I couldn't tell you if you take out that certain leads, and just give them, like, just think of the storylines as is. I think they're all as strong, and there's not an A, B. It's always just like, oh, there's just multiple things going on.
The one thing I've noticed, and it hasn't been as frequent in this second half of the book, but there was a turn of page today where I got to Petrichor and the Prince Robot, different Prince Robot, but a Prince Robot nonetheless. He's like, hey, you want to come back so I can ride your face, or you can ride my face? And I'm like, oh, we're getting into weird words. Great. And then we see Robot Dick. I'm like, of course. Could be a side of the book without some penis.
Well, I would say it was nice that we got to check in with Petrichor, because I feel like it's been a while. But also, yeah, that, I guess.
And then our little boy shoots a lion cat in their face. So
that was I think the most exciting thing for this whole issue for me is the fact that the shot happens, and I go, oh, maybe Atlanta did show up, and then to find out that he's turned his hand into a Samus arm cannon.
Yeah,
super excited.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. And that, yeah, taking out the lion cat, I'm like, I think that's what everyone's been wanting since issue one, because that thing's so fucking annoying. It's pretty awesome.
It's not that annoying.
What?
You didn't read the, you weren't reading when the first coming out. That was like the first big thing about this book was lion cat. Like, it was,
love lion cat.
You could buy shirts, you could buy toys.
And then Gus came out. Yeah. Cute little heart feel. Fuck yeah.
Alex, I mean, Garrett, that's going to be your part. Alex is the forecaster. I'm playing a hustling game, being what's the word I'm looking for? Visionary? No. Psychic. Sorry. Psychic. And you are going to be, you can change your, not your arm, but your big toe into a cannon like that.
And so Garrett's the muscle.
There you go.
You can turn both your big toes to one of those guns. Now, they are as powerful as those guns, but I don't know how you're going to aim them. So,
do you have toes that you can at least point up, shoot everyone right in the dick?
That's right.
I guess
I'll do a little thing where I kick back on my heel and it just blows the fucking hole through you.
That's what you need to figure out how to do that, because that would be the ultimate move. You just do a kick flip, hold your feet, bam, right to the face. Next thing you know, they're in their tongue.
No, they're not going to have a tongue. They're going to have a head.
And then Alex would just make it start raining, and it'd be the coolest thing, and I'll be in the corner being like, I think it's going to rain. Make some money.
The thing is that I like how you're the psychic, but you didn't know that we were going to have to fight that guy.
I told you, mine's a scam. You guys actually have powers. Mine's a scam.
Marvin is the thinker. I like it.
Yeah, I just run the scam.
Marvin just gets all the credit.
It's like in Better Call Saul, Garrett, which I am watching. I'm like on season 5.
Oh, dude. So good.
It's like Better Call Saul, Slippin' Jimmy. Somebody has to be the person putting the gig together, even though the other people have the talent,
Right.
Like sometimes, somebody has come up with the idea, and then the rest of the people can just do the play happen. And that's what's going to happen. I'm going to be doing the con, and you guys actually have the power, but you don't know how to run the con like I do. I'm going to make so much money, and Garrett's going to... You know what, Garrett, though? I don't think yours would be a con. I'm just going to put you in the circus.
Perfect. Yeah, man, I couldn't imagine, clipping my toenails. I might blow my hands off.
All right, guys. Get your armored sets on. We're going to go cut Garrett's toenail.
That's right. Get some hazmat suits, maybe some bulletproof vests. It won't matter. You're going to die anyways.
We'll try to figure out how to make a mason jar out of unbreakable glass and wrap your toes up.
That's when we bring in the Jimmys and all of our other assistants. Hey, Jimmy, go cut your toes.
One by one. WednesdayComics.com. Go there, subscribe to the show. Click on the message button to leave us a message. RainbowComicsAndCards.com. Roots of the SwampThing.com. Go there for everything Avatar of the Green. At Wednesday Comics is the Twitter handle, at Garot2188 and at the AP Keaton. Once again, find us anytime, WednesdayComics.com, and click on the website button to go to the merch page and get yourself a nice little tee. There you go for that. I got to ask you guys a question to end the show here. Okay?
Okay.
I saw somebody else asking this question, and I wanted to ask you too. So for each finger, so your first, what the first finger, let me start over. For every, for $100,000, I will chop off your finger. You get to pick which one, you know, for $100,000. For each additional that you choose to chop off, the next one is going to be 10 times the amount of the first one. And then it compounds 10 more, 10 more, 10 more. How many fingers do you have left?
So how much do you get to start with?
100,000.
And then 10 times for each finger pass. So $1 million for the second finger, 10 million, 100 million, a billion.
Yeah.
You know, I think I could get rid of my pinkies and a better end there because that's a lot of surface area for, you know, for items.
Well, that's a tough one. I think I'd almost take my pointer finger off or my ring
finger. Pointer finger, dude? Your ring finger? You're gonna disrespect your wife like that for 100K?
I'm just saying, if you cut your pinkies off, you won't be able to grip anything very well anyway. You might as well get rid of one of the other fingers. I mean, they're all important. Yeah, Marvin, I would just none. I, you know what? I'll stay poor.
You won't take $200,000?
It'd be $1 million, Gary.
Wait, no, I said for the two fingers, not for all 10.
No, for two, it would be.
Oh, you're right. Two, yeah,
a million.
Be...
100,000 times 10 is 1 million.
No, that's right.
You would get 1 million for the second one and $100,000 for that first one. So, you would get, it would be 1.1 million. Each time you chop off a new finger, it's 10 times the amount.
Okay. Well, maybe I can have a space in there. So, yeah, middle finger and pinky finger.
Yeah. I thought you guys would be like me. I would chop them all off and get some robot hands.
That's true. I guess
that
could be
cheating. I can't.
You know how rich you'll be if you chop them all off, bro? That's like $100 trillion.
I suppose.
I'll be the richest man that ever existed.
But you know what? I have no hands to use my money.
Robot hands, bro. They got technology that can read your mind now.
I can't pay for them because I don't have hands.
They have technology that can read your mind now, and then the chip kind of gets damaged in my head, and that's how I become the psychic.
What if they put a weapon over the nub that is your hand?
I guess I could have a sweet Samus arm.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do, but I'm going to get a sweet weapon, something that, you know, is... something that really can't backfire that much in terms of hurting yourself with it. Kind of close range, just so you can see, you know, eye to eye like a man who you're fighting. I would get both my nubs into baseball bats.
I think I would do like a Hellboy gauntlet with my right hand because I could just punch the shit out of anything. And then my left one, robotic fingers. Yeah, learn how to type left-handed.
I would get a Winter Soldier right arm, and I'm left-handed. Apparently, I'm going to get the laser beam gun on my left.
Yeah, how much money does he get if he cuts off an entire limb?
Oh, I don't know. We get tech. That's market value for that.
Yeah, and where are you going to find the vibranium?
Yeah.
Hell yeah! You get, give me some vibranium. I'll be your Winter Soldier.
I would replace one of your fingers though, with the new cosmetic that we have, so that way you don't feel like, you know, a freak out there. We replace your finger with the tarantula leg. So
that's what fuck
we'll
you.
That's what we'll do.
Be terrified of yourself.
I can't even sleep at night because I'd scare the shit out of myself.
Well, if it's part of your body, what do you mean you're scared? That's you, baby. Love yourself.
I would take my arm cannon and blow that hand off.
God damn. Well, for the Spider King himself, my name is Marvin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Garrett.
Hey, everyone, enjoy that spring weather. Keep turning those pages.